Okay.
So we're at Perek, Tet Zion, fifth Proverbs 15. Okay, we talked last time was about sort of taking staying in control of your own brain, right? You're the CEO of all these advisors all shouting at the same time. Your job is not to lose it, keep everything together. And we know the famous British World War II poster, keep calm and carry on. That's your message from last time. And now the next year extends that to about how do I talk to others while keeping calm? Don't get everybody upset. And we'll look at the translation on Mecha Mamre, verse four Psukim, Mane
Well,
Rach.
it's Proverbs 15.
15, Tetvav.
Okay.
It's the same paragraph as 14 and 13. It's not really a different paragraph. I mean, the chapter divisions are not a Jewish thing. It's really it continues.
Where did chapter divisions come from?
That was a 12th century monk who put it together that way. It turned out to be really useful, so everyone adopted it. Let's see. Bible chapter. Envisioned. That's okay. Okay, chapters and verses. And early chapters. Da-da-da. Here we go. Now, where does it come into? Chapter visions in the 19th century. Archbishop,
Not the
oh,
19th.
no, here we go. The Archbishop Stephen Langton in England is one who, it's the 1200s, is one who got the current chapter divisions. And it became popular when they printed the Crocodola. They started printing the Bible in Hebrew, and the chapters were there, and it was such a useful thing to be able to refer to chapter and verse. Everyone just borrowed it. But
So basically, it was really because of the printing press that we sort of adopted this stuff.
it's the printing press and the disputations with Christians.
Oh, okay, that's
Because we
interesting.
had to, you know, if you had to tell them what you're quoting something, then you had to be able to say what, you know, chapter and verse, what you're quoting from.
You know where you are.
So we ended up with that. Like I said, it's useful. So
Yeah.
it starts off. Ma'aneh rach yashiv chema, a soft answer turns away anger. Udvar etzev, but a word of sorrow, yale af, increases anger. Lashon chachamim teitiv dat, the tongue of the language of the wise increases knowledge, makes knowledge good, puts knowledge, he said, puts it right. Ufik silim, but the mouth of the fools, yabia avel, speaks foolishness. We'll look at these words in more detail. B'chol makom enei Hashem, God's eyes are everywhere. Tzofot ra'im v'tovim, they see the good and evil. Marpeh lashon, a healing tongue, Eitz Chaim, is a tree of life. B'selef ba, and warping it, perverseness therein, as he translates here. Shever baruach, breaks the spirit. Looking at those four psukim first, it starts with the idea of a ma'aneh rach, a
This
soft
seems
answer.
similar to what we did last week.
Yes, well, it's continuous, right? So
So, in
this,
other words, this could be somewhat repetitive, you mean?
you know, yeah, Mishlei goes back over and over the same things, but
I
this
just wanted
thing
to
is,
make sure because I thought, like, this sounds like the same thing we did last week.
yeah, the last time we're talking about being angry. Now is how you talk to someone else.
Oh, yeah,
Okay, this
okay.
is not within you, but this is the ma'aneh rach, and a calm answer can calm someone else who's down. Yeshiv chema can bring down the temperature when other people are angry. But a devar etzev, a word of misery, of sadness, we'll look at etzev in more detail.
Yeah.
It's not an answer to someone else, just saying it right now, ya'aleh af, increases the anger. Okay, you want to be the provoker. But you are the one who calms down the provocation. And
But isn't that word to lower the temperature? What's the popular word they're using? De-escalate.
The escalate, yes. So Manel Rach Yashiv Chema can serve to de-escalate the situation, and that's the Gra says that the Manel Rach will de-escalate Chema, which he says is different from the af, from the anger. This is Perush. He had to ben af v'chema. The difference between af and chema, which are translated both of those is anger. The af hu b'machshava, the dibur. That the first step is in the mind, in the thought.
Once you start
Af,
thinking about these things.
right? Af is in the mind. So, and again, this is what how I talk to someone else. That the other
Yeah.
person starts getting angry. If hu etchalat hakas, that's the beginning of getting angry. The chema b'maaseh, it's when you start acting on it, right? That's the guy who's shouting, who's throwing fists at you, right? Who's self hakas, that's the end point. That's what you're trying to avoid. So a soft answer can pull back, as you said, de-escalate the actual chema, even when things are already reached the point of actions. Someone's already done something or tried to do something, or he already did it. This can bring it back. That you're answering him with soft words. And part of the key for the actual de-escalation is kind of match tone. You have to be just as loud
Yeah.
so the person hears you, but then you kind of come down together. But you're always saying things calm. I understand. Yeah, I hear this is what you're saying. You're very angry. So you say, Rim Rakim al Kasal Hishibo. You're trying to bring it back down. But if you're
Danny,
right,
I
you
have to
say,
bring up my mother for a second.
yeah.
One of her favorite things to say was, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't
Don't
say
say it.
anything.
That's right. That's
Yeah.
right.
This is a perfect, yeah,
That's
this is a
hard.
perfect cure for her. And remember,
Okay. Yeah, good. What's your Hebrew name?
Esther Rachel Bat Elihu Vasara.
Okay, we should learn the Esther Sar by Esther
Esther Rachel
Rachel Bat Elihu Sarah.
Elihu Vasara, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Dvar Etzev, saying a word, saying things of Etzev, Mishnah Ber Dvarim Atzavim, and Bate, saying things that are negative. Hu Malap, it increases anger. Mashloya what even if it didn't happen before, right? You can
And
make
here it
someone
says
upset.
male off. So is that the way you're thinking?
Ma'ale'af. You said af was the way you're thinking, right?
It increases what you're thinking, your anger, the your thought,
Right.
your anger and your in anger inside, how you're feeling.
So that's what you have to realize, that even if you don't see an effect, saying negative things will increase the stress level. It may break out the chema, but it didn't exist. Klal, it wasn't there at all. Hu ma'ala, it brings it out. Achshav, ha'af zekatuv davar. That's why it's a davar, right? It's not responding to an existing situation. You're just starting it now. Don't do that, right? It's ya'ala and davar, and before I put to mane, answering yashiv brings it back down. And what Devar Etzev, which I just translated as a word of sadness, and he translates it here as a grievous word. Etzev doesn't really mean sadness so many times. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Right? More about Etzev is more about futility. It's pointless. Right? The first time that's used is when the Adam gets cursed after the eating the fruit in Gan Eden. Says Ladama Mark, because you listen to your wife, and yet from this tree that I told you not to. The earth is cursed because of you. It's a von tochlera. You're gonna eat with itzavon. It's a what does it mean? Kotzvidaratsmiachlach. You thorns and thistles will come up. You'll work hard, you'll plant sadeh, you're gonna eat the grass, the fields, you'll try to plant, but nothing will come up. So Dvar Etzev means futile words.
But basically, this is Adam's punishment.
It's a punishment that you're going to have this Etzev. So we're saying that here in Mishlei, a Dvar Etzev is not so much being harsh, because there's a place for that, but it's doing it pointlessly.
Yeah.
Dvar Etzev is it's frustrating because you're not getting anywhere, because there's a
Yeah.
place for rebuking, right? You can tell people what to do, but you have to have the judgment of knowing when to do it. So that's what the next pasuk says that explicitly. The next pasuk is Lashon Chachamim Teitiv Dat. If you're smart, what you're saying will make the dot good. Like you may be right, but you got to say it in a way that's going to be received. Because pixilim, but the mouth of the fools, yabi evelet, will spew forth foolishness in the sense of not doing what's right. Okay? And that's what they're. Because you're supposed to try to correct others. You can't avoid that responsibility. There's a pasuk, lotisnat, don't hate your brother in your heart. You have to rebuke your fellow. You're doing something wrong. You have to be able to say, no, you're
You
doing
have to warn your fellow.
it wrong. Right? Is to rebuke. That's just a warning, right? But it adds, lotisel, don't bear sin because of that. Excuse me, that's my.
I know that it's telling you tochacha to give rebuke,
Yeah.
but
Excuse me a second.
I
That's
also
my.
feel, that's very important about how you give the rebuke, that somebody can accept it.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to talk about. That's the Lashon Chachamim. You gotta be smart.
Sounds harsh, and that might work for certain people,
Yeah.
but it also might be a turnoff for certain people.
So that's what
And
we're going to have to, right. So
you're
that's what
talking
we're going to talk about.
about that you shouldn't give it if you know the person's not ready to
So,
accept
I mean,
it.
this is all right. I want to actually bring that inside. So that's exactly where we're going with it. That's
Okay.
where this goes, right? You got to bring out anger. It can't be choice, right? It's got to be Lashon Chachamim. It's got to be smart, right?
Yeah.
So that's the, so looking at what this Hocheach means. So I do want to talk about that. You're exactly right. Right? Ramban says that there's a separate mitzvah. Mitzvah acheret, mi lo tisnat achiv bo vecha. Don't hate secretly. And Hocheach tocheach, lamdo tochachot musar. You got to give them, you can give your amitecha, your fellow musar. And that's Gemara in Erechim. How do you know that if you see something wrong in your chaver, in your fellow, someone else, something wrong, something inappropriate, you need to tell them about it. You need to rebuke, criticize, reproach. It says, he did it, but the guy did, you told him, but he didn't accept it. How do you know you should go back and do it again? You surely shall, right? The intensive duplicative. Become come no matter what. Panav, even after his face changes, he starts getting mad. No, don't do it. Don't bear a sin from that because of it, right? If the person's gonna come to hate you, you gotta stop. Tanya writes and says, I'm Rabbi Tarfon. Timoni im yesh badora zesh tocha. I don't think there's anyone nowadays, time of the Tanaim, right? And anyone nowadays who can accept Tochacha, can accept Musar.
You know, wait, hold on a second. I'm just trying to adjust my sound. Okay, go ahead, Danny.
Okay,
You're saying you don't think
I
anybody
think,
now can accept Tohaha?
right, that's what he said. This is in Gemara.
Wow.
I feel Amar Tul ki semi benecha. You tell someone else, you got a splinter on your eye. Omer lo, the person says, yeah, Tul kora mi benecha. You got a beam between your eyes. I'm Rabbi Elizabeth ben Azariah. Elizabeth ben Azariah says back. Now, the problem is that people don't know how to accept tochacha. Money mish b'dor zeh she yodea lahochia. No, we don't, there's no one nowadays who knows how to give rebuke, who knows how to criticize correctly. That's why no one's accepting it. You don't know how to do it in a way that's acceptable. The Gemara continues, at hechan tochacha, how far do you have to go with your hochiyach to rebuke? Rav amar ad hakah, you got to keep doing it until the person hits you. Shmuel amar ad klala, you got to do it till the person curses you. Rabbi Yochanan amar ad nizifa, until they censure, till they fight back.
Will they what?
Till they argue back. Not
Oh,
physical fighting. Till they
okay.
censure you, they tell you to stop. I'm sorry?
They get defensive.
They get defensive. That's what he said. Okay, you got, again, you got to have the judgment there. That's the important part. Don't be making people angry for no reason. That's the Dor Etzev, or the Gemara Yavama. Eliyah, Mishum Elazar ben Shimon, Kishim Shemitzvah Adam Lomar Davar Hanishma. Just like the mitzvah to say things that will be heard, Kach mitzvah al adam shelo lomar davar she'eino nishma. It's a mitzvah not to say something that's not going to be heard. That's part of the mitzvah of hachacha. Gotta you don't say things not going to be heard. And Rabbi Omer Tzachova, this is in fact an obligation. Be careful who you rebuke, as it says. We learned this in Mishlei Tet a couple of months ago. Al tochach let's penyas na'eka. Don't rebuke a cynic, lest they hate you. Hochech l'chacham, you criticize a chacham, yevecha, they'll love you. And that actually did not necessarily
That
different people.
now, so they'll curse a haham, in other words.
Don't curse, but rebuke, right? Criticize a chacham, right? And
Yeah.
the truth is that we're all less than real chachamim, right? There are points that we'll accept criticism and points we won't. And I, criticizing you, have to know that, have to get that judgment. I don't want to create more anger. And so the Medrash goes on talking about how Hashem tries to avoid embarrassing anyone, right? That Hashem will give hochacha but won't name names. And the first example is with the man. Hashem
Okay.
says, here the man's coming every day. It's not going to fall on Shabbos. Don't go out and try to collect it on Shabbos. So what did the people do?
They collected on
They
Shabbos.
went out to collect on Shabbos. Not everybody, just a couple of people went, right? So Hashem says, Vayomer Hashem and Moshe, Hashem says, Moshe, ad ana mi'antem lishmor mitzvotai b'Torah. How long will all of you refuse to keep my commandments? So this is where the Midrash puts it. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Emor lehem Yisrael, tell Bnei Yisrael, ad ana mi'antem, how long will all of you refusing to listen? He said, "On you all of you, because he didn't want to embarrass those who actually did do the gathering. Put it all collective. I'm not going to name names unless it's absolutely necessary."
So he makes a collective statement.
Right. Yeshua. We see the same thing with Yeshua when Yeshua, after they conquer Jericho, Yeshua puts the entire city under cherem. They can't take any of the spoils. Achan takes some of the spoils. And Hashem tells him, Chata Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael sinned. Shelo l'bayesh et Achan ad sheyigmar dino. They're not going to embarrass Achan until he's actually tried and actually investigate and prove that it was him. Hashem says, it happened. You have to figure out who, because I'm not going to say anything, because we're not going to name names. We don't want to embarrass somebody, even when we're giving him hochacha. Shchane ben Yechiel, Ezra, and this. The same thing we learned in Sefer Ezra, when Shachmiah, who is the governor, when Ezra comes after Bnei Israel come back, and he tells them, people have been intermarrying. It's a big problem.
Oh, you mean when they come back into Israel?
They come back to Israel, and Ezra
While
comes back the next generation.
were in Kutz-Lars,
I'm sorry?
they intermarried. While they were in Babel and stuff, they
No,
intermarried.
no, no, no. It's the people who had come back to Israel. So
Yeah.
Ezra comes a generation after the first Chazor Letzion under Zerubbabel. And
Okay.
he comes there and he finds they've intermarried
In Israel.
with everyone there. They've kind of lost their way. And Shekhinah tells him that. What Shekhinah tells him is, Anachnu ma'alnu b'Elokeinu. We have betrayed God. But Noshev, Noshim, Nochriot, we've married foreign women. Okay? He's not going to name names. He's just saying it happens. We don't need to embarrass anybody. Not going to name names. You can figure out, and we can figure out what to do. May Shachnia Lamad Shmuel Katan, and Shmuel Katan was one of the Tanaim. He's the one who wrote Bamashinim. He's the one who said in Pirkei Avot, "Bin Pol Oyvecha Al Tismach," don't rejoice when your enemy falls. And he also had that attitude. Then Rabbi Shimon Bar Gamliel. And that he there was an incident when one of the Tanaim tried to go establish the Rosh Chodesh against Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's advice. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has lots of stories about him and the Chodesh, but it wasn't clear who had written the psak. So he said, but Shmuel HaKatan said, Amar Lishmuel Shimon Gamliel, he said, Ani ha hu shaliti shel b'rishut. I'm the one who went and did this without your permission. In order to not embarrass the other person, the nichnas shel b'rishut lavor, who actually did the actual ibur shana, who proclamated, who proclaimed that they were going to have a leap year. He should have done it with the whole Sanhedrin. It was anonymous. He said, it was me. He didn't want to embarrass anybody else. That's a myth. He tried to avoid embarrassing other people, even when they're wrong.
But didn't you would take you blame everybody. You're blaming a lot more innocent people.
Okay, well, everyone, I mean, it's clear that you're not punishing everybody. You're saying it happened. Somebody did this. Okay, and we're going to figure it out, but we're going to try to hold off on.
You're being general, even though you know who it is,
Right.
but you're not really blaming the whole cloud.
Not blaming everybody. No.
Okay.
Okay, Mikan says, Shrikan b'nei Brit Kodesh, these are her ish b'chvod chavero. Here's how you know that you're one of the b'nei Brit Kodesh. You're a b'nei Brit, right? Member of the tribe. You need to be careful about the kavod of someone else. Someone else's self-esteem. Shula halbim panabra. Bim, don't embarrass them. Don't make them turn pale in public. That's what it means. Rebuke, but don't bear a sin. Know when you're rebuking, know what you're doing, don't make things worse. Afalpi, that even you have to be hochiach, you should not be embarrassing someone else. Kol shekein, shelo. So certainly if it's not for the sake of criticizing, try to get something better. If you embarrass someone else, you will lose your place in all the.
Oh, so that's a big risk there.
That's a big risk. So be careful about where you're correcting someone else. Don't embarrass them. And this is the Rambam in Mishneh Torah. Chachamim. This is the way the mitzvah
Never
is.
heard. I've always heard the thing that you shouldn't rebuke somebody who's not ready to hear your advice, but I never heard that if you misrebuke somebody. That you lose your place in Olam
It's pretty extreme there. That's pretty extreme, right? I mean,
HaBa. That's
it's
forbidden
a
thought.
midrashic statement. Yeah. So be careful. Don't embarrass other people. And this
I
is in
think
Torah.
it does give you pause because it's something that everybody wants.
Yeah.
They want to go to the right place.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's
So
interesting.
that's your lesson there, right?
Where
Someone's wrong.
does that come from? Where it says you lose Olam HaBa?
What'd I say?
Where's the thing where it tells you if you rebuke by mistake or you
Well,
don't?
this is Malbim Panet Pnei Chavera Barabim. You embarrass someone in public. That's the Mafsi Chelkol Ba, and that's the Midrash Sechel Tov.
Who? Oh, is this Boober?
Well, Buber is the name of the this
Martin
Buber
Boober,
is the name.
another Boober.
Okay, so Martin Buber, who wrote I and Thou, his grandfather looked was a document scholar. He went around looking for old manuscripts, and he found a lot of older midrashim that were quoted in earlier sources, but no one ever had. So this is
Wow.
Midrash Sechel Tov on Tehillim, or this on Chumash, that was found by Samuel Buber,
Wow.
who's John Buber's grandfather.
That's pretty amazing.
Okay, some
Because
of the.
I've heard him quoted before, meaning the grandfather of
So he
Buber.
didn't write
Okay,
this. He's the one
John
who found he's the one who found the manuscript.
Martin. Yeah, wow.
Right, and this is the Rambam, Kachim HaChamim. This is what the Chacham said, again, quoting the previous Gemaras. Yochot mishtanot. Maybe you should rebuke somebody to the point where literally their face changes, right? They're embarrassed in public. No, don't bear sin for on the other person. You can't embarrass somebody certainly not public. And even though this is not the sort of thing you get makot for, right? Beit Din won't punish you for this. Avon gadol, who is a terrible sin? Okay, as we just said, if you embarrass someone in public, you lose your place in Olam Haba. Okay, that's the Rambam, as we said.
That's from the,
That's pretty strong.
yeah.
Therefore, you need to be really careful not to embarrass someone else. Don't call him any embarrassing names. Don't say anything they might be embarrassed about. That's the embarrassing part. Okay, and that's all part of what goes into what we're saying here. Aman el rach yeshivchema, speak softly, and lashon chachamim teitiv dat. Right? Your words should be making that, making knowledge, truth, making it good, saying it right. The fact that you're right doesn't mean you need to tell everybody. And the next pasuk is b'chol makom enei Hashem. God's eyes are everywhere. Okay, we've talked about this before, and Mishlei Hey. That God's eyes are watching the ways people go, and God weighs of weigh, all of man's ways, ways, better pun in English than in Hebrew. But you have to realize that you're always being watched. That's the message there, and the Pirkei Avot says that explicitly. Remember three things and you won't sin. Da malamancha, what's above you is an ayin ro'eh, there's an eye seeing, but ozen shamat, there's an ear that hears. Kol ma'asecha b'sefer yichtavim, everything you're doing is being written down. And God's watching. And I quoted this anecdote about the Chafetz Chaim. Remember this? We've said this before. But the Chafetz Chaim is a camera. Okay. Sipru l'Chafetz Chaim, hitpalut, al harishana. When one of his students told the Chafetz Chaim, this would have been the late 1800s, he told him with amazement about the new camera. So this would have been not the first camera per se, but the Kodak camera that you could carry around with you. You just press the button. You didn't need to, no, not only was home
Instant
protection.
camera.
What?
An instant camera.
Wasn't instant, right? Not like a Polaroid, but you could take the picture and then get it developed, as opposed to having everyone sit in one place and you had the guy with the cloak over his head, the long. So
Then you take the negative and you make it into a positive, or
this is the first camera that you could actually you carry around. You could take any picture anywhere. He give a maftia
became a mobile camera.
that an amateur could use it. Anybody could, right? But the Chafetz Chaim said about this. He answered him, "Halom mitkayem, that this is not it. The world's not advancing. Halom nasoga chor, this is a regression. What does it mean? What does it mean that the camera shows we're all regressing? But derot hakadmonim, hagadumim, haaminu hayu anshei bala muna. That previous generations people believed. Kasher lamdu b'mishnah, the Mishnah said that there's an ayin ro'eh ozen shamat, that there's an eye watching and an ear listening. Yadu hifnimu, they knew and they internalized the idea. Ku'umnam kenu, they knew this was true. God was watching and recording everything. Achlanenu pasu amunim ibnei adam. Nowadays, no one believes in these sorts of things. No one takes it seriously. And everyone doubts it. Hamitamim ma perish ayin ro'eh. What do you mean? The eye sees. Tomorrow, everyone's going to know what I did yesterday. What do you mean there's an ear hearing? If I said something inappropriate yesterday, tomorrow, everyone's going to hear what I said. So that's why Hashem said, okay, now it's time to give you the camera. You need a physical manifestation of this metaphor. That you're right. Everything you're doing, we can take a picture of it. It will last forever. That's an ayin ro'eh. Ozen shamat, we can record it now. This will be the same time as Edison's audio recording. And this was again the 1880s, 1890s. Okay? So our generation is clearly even more before. Because nowadays, everything is watched. We know that, right? You got cameras every single street. I just was driving down 40, and you can see there, the cameras along the road. We know that, right? Our
Carry
satellite.
our own camera around with us.
And we intentionally record everything, right? It's very literal. There's an
We
eye
send each
show.
other notes on the camera. We take pictures with the camera.
Yes.
I
Right?
mean,
Everything is literally being watched, right? We
yeah.
don't need the metaphor. Right? I've heard this, right? The satellites are watching me. The machines are reporting to the watches. The watches are always watching. And right, of course, is anything bothering you? Of course, it's getting harder and harder to diagnose paranoia. But it really is true, you're being watched and recorded every time. So that's Hashem's side of it. So the connection to the previous psukim is obvious because it means that if someone else is wrong, you don't need to correct them, right? Hashem's aware of the problem. It's okay. You don't have to be ochiach every single one. Use your judgments. And we have the famous XKCD that you can't go to bed because someone is wrong on the internet. No, that's not your job. You do not have to correct everyone.
But is this basically your fellow yid that you don't have to correct everyone, but on the other hand, if you're around, I guess it also depends like what your yichus is to them.
Right. I mean, that's the judgment here, right? There's definitely is a mitzvah hochech tochiah.
Yeah.
You've got to know it's not, you don't have to correct everything, right? It's got to be in a way that makes it better, right? You don't
Also,
be
it'll be
as is not
impossible to correct
allowed.
everybody.
I'm sorry?
It will be impossible to correct everybody. I
I know.
mean, from a practical point of view.
Well, it's not just that. Well, there are too many wrong people out there. You're never going to get to all of them. The
Don't mean
fact.
that. I'm just saying, like, let's say you knew 10 honest people and everybody's human, so everybody makes a mistake. You could spend your whole day walking around correcting people.
Yeah, and there are people who do that. But no, it's not good. Again, you got to use your judgment. You got to do it in a way that makes it better, that actually makes it better. And that's what the next pasuk is. Marpe lashon etz chayim, right? It's a healing tongue. That's an etz chayim, it's a way of life. Veselef ba, and perverting it, sheva ruach, will break the spirit, right? The etz chayim here, we know that's a metaphor that comes up a lot. Mishle said before, etz chayim hil machzikim ba, the Torah is the etz chayim, it's the life here. And selef means crookedness. We had that before as well when we talked about tamat yeshurim tenachem, that the straightforwardness, the honesty of the righteous will console them, veselef bogdim, but the perverseness of the traitors, yashdem, will destroy them. So the Gemara takes the two halves as parallel. The marpet lashon takes it not as a healing tongue, but as a healing for the tongue, and selef and healing for the crookedness in the tongue. How do I heal my crooked tongue? That's the Gemara's interpretation. It's not in context here. But the answer is, what do I do if I've done wrong? If I've said Lashon Hara, the answer is go back to the Eitz Chaim and the Sheva Ruach. Am Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Matikanto Shel Misaprei Lashon Hara. What is the takana? How can I undo the damage of saying Lashon Hara? In Talmud Chacham Hu, if you can learn, Yasuk B'Torah, learn Torah, Nimar Marpe Lashon Eitz Chaim. The way to heal the tongue is through this Eitz Chaim in Lashon El Lashon Hara. Right? Lashon here, tongue, is from Lashon Hara. That's why it needs healing. As Yirmiyahu says, Chetz Shachut Lashonam, their tongue is an arrow that's been shot. Then Eitz Torah, Shnemar Eitz Chaim Hi. Right? That's learned Torah. The Mama Aretz, who, if you can't learn, Yashpil Dato, you should be humble. Lower your own self-importance. That's Shever Ruach. It says, Selef Ba Shever Beruach. But that's not in the context that we have here. This is talking about giving root to others. So most of the Mefarshim take it as Marpe Lashon, a healing tongue, soothing. He translates here as a soothing tongue. There we go. Right? That's what it is. I say things, like we said before, the way that makes people happier, that's the Eitz Chaim. That's the way of the Torah, and that makes things better. But Selef Ba, but saying things that are perverse, even if they're right, the Sheva Ruach breaks the spirit. And that's the Mitzvot David, Marpeh Lashon,
So
Misha
here it goes back from the letter of the law and the spirit of the law.
Lashon. No, I don't think that's relevant to that at all.
Why? Because you could tell somebody a truth, but if you say it in a nasty way,
That's true. I don't know if it's related to necessarily the
it's
spirit
going to
versus
have
letter of
the opposite
law.
effect, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I don't know. I wouldn't call that relative to the spirit of the law itself. It's in how you know, I mean, you're right. You can tell people the truth and it will have the wrong effect. And that's what we're saying here.
I'm just saying,
That is the halacha.
just because something is true does not necessarily mean it was conveyed in a proper way.
That is exactly the message. Be careful.
Be
Okay,
careful.
Marpel Hashem, that's what it is. Misha Lashono Rafuya. Someone whose language is soft, soothing, healing. Lo yideber kashot, and not going to say harsh things. Rak yideber rachot, will say soft things. Hu lo le'etz ha-megadel chayim. That brings life. Avama akem b'lashon. No, the yideber kashot, someone who warps their tongue to speak harshly. Bo sheva beritzo. No, that will break the other spirits. Other spirits. Ki lo yikabal devarav. Lo yimolo ritzo. No, and no one's going to listen. No one's going to accept. Right, you can give him. You have to give him other. If you can give Musar to others, then build them up, not break their spirit. Right, sheva beruach. Breaking the spirit doesn't make people that better, and that's the language here.
All should be is that you feel the person can make amends, can do tshuva. So you want to say it in a positive way as opposed to a negative way.
And that I think is that this beginning of Perek, that five. That's what he's talking about. And then Shlomo goes to the other side of it. You have to accept Musar as well, right? Someone else is doing their best to try to correct you. You at least listen, right? Avil yinetz Musar aviv. The fool will reject the Musar of his father. But listening to tochacha criticism, Yarim will become clever, will become wise, prudent. They like that. Beit Tzadik Chosen Rav, it translates that the house of the righteous they will have much treasure. Utuvuat Rasha, Nakeret, but he translates the revenue. I would translate when the Rasha comes, things get ruined. Achurim come muddy,
I
dim.
say tivu not here is tivua is the reward of the Russia
Yeah,
is
I mean, I think it's. I mean, the way the Farsi usually translates is that in this metaphor, the Beit Tzedek, the house of the righteous, Tevuah in the sense of when they come, the Bo'am.
yeah.
If things get more confused, and Sivtei Chachamim Yazoru Dat, and he translates this as the lips of the wise disperse from Zoreh. Our scroll also says Zored spreads out wisdom. Lev k'zilim lo ken, but the heart of the foolish are not ken, they're not steady. Or not, they're not lo ken, mean not like this. They don't spread wisdom. And so we start this paragraph back in your paragraph. You give them the same idea of a ben chacham musar of let's lo shema gara, that if you're smart, you'll listen to criticism. If you're not, you're going to reject it. But here, it's more about how do you respond to the Marpella show. Someone's trying to give you criticism. Do it nicely. You're not mad at them. It's worth listening. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah. It's Lamar. Ki lo lo ye Marpella show. That if you are rejecting Musar, then this Marpella show, this healing, this Eitz Chaim will not apply to you. You got to listen. Lazar lo il. Won't help. Won't do, have any purpose. Kim lechafetzim. It only helps for those who want Lishmoa to listen. Lekabal tochachot. To accept it. Etzachayim, that's a metaphor of the Etzachayim, the tree of life. You have to actually go and take its fruit. Asher Torah Tov, you have to take the fruit there. He said, as someone said earlier, Yoser, let's lokeach lokalon. You try to give Musar to a cynic, then it's just going to be embarrassing for you. They're not going to listen. Again, you gotta know who you're rebuking. Mochiach l'rasha, trying to rebuke a rasha, mumo, you're gonna end up with their mum, with their defects. Not everybody can listen to Moshe.
You have to be very sort of empathetic to know who you're talking to
Yes.
and where they're at, you know.
Yes.
And are you able to talk to them about this? You know, are you the one that should be, the messenger, you know what I mean?
Right. No, that's exactly what he's saying over and over again. That's exactly what he's saying, right? You don't have to correct everybody, right? You don't have to be the guy who's correcting everybody on the internet, right? Know who you're talking to. Make sure it's going to make things better. And then you have this Beit Tzadik Chosen Rav, that the house of the Tzadik as a Chosen, Archgros says enduring strength, but Chosen means a treasury, a stronghold. Okay, this is from Yeshaya talking to a. Is Nevuah about Sur, about Tyre. The rich nation, but the Yas Charab Etena, Kadosh Hashem, that your treasures won't last. They will all belong to Hashem. Lo yatzar, you'll not have it be stored up. Lo yechaser, they'll not be in your treasury. You have lost it all. So the bayit here, what is the Beit Tzadik, the house of the Tzadik, is a metaphor here. It's for your spiritual state. It's where you are. This is the Malbim. Right? Kol zeh mashal habayit hamelitzichi, that this metaphor of this literary house, Beit HaNefesh Umonata, it's where your soul lives. It's where you are spiritually. That Mishle will say later, B'chachma yibneh bayit, that you build that bayit with wisdom, with tfunah yitkonen, and sets it up with understanding. And then
I lost your sound there, Danny.
B'chachma yibneh bayit.
Part I got, but then the next part I didn't.
And that's V'dat chadarim yimalu kol hon, yakar v'na'im. And with knowledge, you'll fill the rooms of this bayit with all sorts of treasures. Chachma, asher asaf b'nafsho, because all these rules of wisdom that you're learning, you're learning all these from Mishlei, Ech Yitnaheg, B'chol Milotav, how you should act, all these mitzvot, character traits, B'chol Tahalachot HaNefesh, and all the ways that you should be thinking, L'tov, R'rav, whether it's for good or bad, you know that hubinyan abayit. That's what establishes your bayit in this sense. It's your mental state. Kibbuneh abayit shoseif etzim v'avanim is like building a house that you're gathering the wood and the stone and makabzim and mesadram. You put them together. You know, seif kol chukhei chachma. That's what your brain is doing when it's building this kind of these internal mental models with all the rules of wisdom, idea, tfunah, and your understanding. So you have vin chukei chachma, you'll understand wisdom via you'll see davar midavar, and you'll figure out new things. That's what bina means, tfunah. You'll finish this house. You will have your internal mental state. That's good. The et yada kol bidei bara, and you'll know everything. Well, we never get to that point because you're never done building this by it here. But you
Because
need.
we're finite, we're not infinite.
Right. They're never going to know everything. So you're always building this internal mental bayit. Maybe midot in your, whether in character traits, bin haskalot, elokiyot, or in spiritual understanding, imetzeh beit nafsho, bekelim ikarim, and then you'll be able to fill this house with nice furniture, metaphorically speaking. Aval rasha, but the rasha, mistepeik uchei chachma, yochol aleihem, a rasha is someone who doesn't. Who doubts all these words of wisdom, disagrees with them, then the storm comes, he doesn't have a very strong house. Now we should definitely have inserted the metaphor of the three little pigs in here.
Yeah.
Wolf comes and blows down the house of straw, and you'll end up with nothing but wind and air. The storm will come, and it will bring up all these desires of the heart, right? You're not going to think straight. And they'll kind of blow through all the four corners of the house, be some kamo, and blow it away. That's the metaphor of the bayit. So that's what Tzaddik has to build his own bayit. And then what that
Like
does,
more for your spirit, really, your spiritual.
it's spiritual. Yeah, that's why I put that all. It's again goes back to this mental model of your mind being all these other things coming together, and they're all living together in this metaphoric bayit. So
Yeah.
you not only do you have to keep all the inhabitants of your mind, and I really wish I remember what Ruthie called that as a therapy model. You've got to kind of negotiate with all these people
I'll
in your
try
head.
and remember to ask to raise that next time we get together, Danny.
But you're also building the house where they're all living together, and you're furnishing it metaphorically. It's all
Yeah.
the kind of pieces of things you. And it ends the section with Siftei Chachamim Yezerodat. And again, the Machon Mamre v'Yitzchok said that the lips of the Chachamim sow or spread out knowledge. And our scroll says the same thing, they spread knowledge. But Rashi, I think, fits better that Yezoru from Zer, from a crown.
Oh, I
The
didn't know that
Chachamim.
the Zer is crowned.
Yeah, we see that this is in the building the Aron or all the furniture of the Mishkan. You have to cover the Aron with gold inside and out. You have to build, make a gold crown around the edge. That's
Oh,
a,
so is that why we put a crown on the Torah?
yes. The
Wow,
symbol of the
I've
crown of the
never
Torah.
knew where that came from. That comes from
Okay.
Shema. Wow.
That's what Mash, and that's what Rashi says about our pasuk, right? Tzivtei chachamim yezer dat. Format that better. That right? They zoru dat. They the chachamim crown dat knowledge, wisdom. Yechtiru dat. They put a crown on Zerzaha. Okay, we talked about this before, crowning it. Okay, what does it mean to crown dat? Because there's a we've talked about this before. There's a famous Agada about Moshe watching Hashem put crowns on the letters. You know this. Everyone's heard this before. Right?
Midrash, right?
Yes, it's a Gemara Menachot. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, B'sha'a she'ala Moshe la'maram. And when Moshe went up to heaven to get the Torah, Matz'ola Kadosh Baruch Hu she'yoshev, he found Hashem sitting, B'koshe k'tarim lo'tiot. He was tying crowns to the letters. Amar Rav found out, Ribbono shel mi ma'akev al. So he asked him, what's forcing your hand here? Marlo Adam echad yesh la'atid liyot b'sof kama derot. There's someone, it'll be in, after many generations, Akiva ben Yosef Shmo, Rabbi Akiva, Shatid lidrosh kol kotz v'kotz talin talin shalachot, that he will darsh and he will learn out from every little point, piles and piles of halachot. And people tend to tend this, take this midrash a little too literally. It's not that Rabbi Akiva learned, you know, there are crowns literally on the on the letters, right? They're little tagim on the letters there. It's not that we don't learn halachot from the tagim. That's what Moshe is pointing out, that this midrash is telling us that Hashem is putting crowns on the letters to say that that symbolizes the fact that each letter has importance. You can learn something out of each letter. There's a letter here, there's not a letter here, it's written Maleh Chaser, every little detail, it's omni-significance. There's
Everything is there for a reason.
yes.
Are the little signs that they put in the Torah, are they like to help you lane or not necessarily?
Tagim on the letters? No, because it's every letter is the same. Like every Zion has that
Oh, it
letter.
has the same
Yeah, so it's all consistent. But I would say that this is Moshe Feinstein, the Igrot Moshe, trying to understand what did it mean to put crowns on the letters. What does it mean to crown dot? Okay, this is where, and he's going to quote, this is the way I explain what it says in the Gemara when it says that when Moshe went up, he saw Hashem tying crowns to the letters, and he says, Mi ma'akev b'yodcha, what's forcing you? So we don't understand what crowns are we talking about. Od kasha, it's also hard to figure out in this story. Shela Moshe mi ma'akev. What does Moshe mean? What's forcing your hand? What is he forcing? What does that mean, ma'akev? Ma kavanato b'zeh. What does he mean? Alafim meshe be'arti v'diyok loshen keterim. So what I explain specifically, it's the language of keter, of a crown on the letters. Shenimse shekadosh baruch hu oseh ototiyot ha'Torah la'malachim. Hashem is saying that the letters of the Torah are the kings. They are the supreme rulers. That's what the crowns on there symbolize. That Hashem is giving permission to the Chachamim in future generations to compare one word to another. And they will decide what the halacha is according to their understanding. Looking at the text. Tam otiot at the way that each person understands the reasoning for all the letters, all the words, all the sentences in the Torah. Even though that isn't what the original truth. And even that's not what Hashem meant by that, right? We're still human. We're not necessarily listening. God's not telling us what the right answer is. The text is what we have, and that's what Hashem's giving us. The Kadosh Baruch Hu natana Torah Yisrael, Hashem gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, shiyasu kefi sheyavino et haketuv, according to the way they understand what's written, by the Musar Baal Peh, and according to the tradition we have from the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's what we have, the fi havanatam, according to our human understanding. Yoter lo yifrosh, and nothing more is asked. Lo yachriyash kodesh baruch hu b'nei Torah. God's not going to come down and decide the halacha of the Torah. Shelo b'shamayim hi. We've heard that before, right? Hashem doesn't tell you this is the way you understand it. Hashem gave us the Torah, including the text that we have and the Masorah that we have that goes with it, and that's the way we understand. We're not trying to second guess God. God agreed that the way that Chachmei Torah decide, that's the answer. In other words, the letters of the Torah are the supreme rulers. They will override Hashem kibyachol. Right, in the story about the Tenor Shalachnai, Hashem get a voice from heaven and said, "No, the halacha is like this." And Rabbi says, "Lo b'shamayim he, no, we decided this way." That you do according to what the text says, according to the understanding of the Mim. Even that's not Hashem's intention. That's an incredible thought. That's what making the letters crowns means. That's what Moshe asked. What's forcing your hand? Why Moshe is asking Hashem, why are you giving up this control? Why are you taking yourself? Why is Hashem taking Hashem's self out of teaching Torah B'nai Israel? Forgive me once. Why are you giving the text itself the supreme decision-making power? People are going to get it wrong. They're going to do something other than what you wanted. Akiva said that that's what it means, that Rabbi Akiva will eventually make drashot. They'll make piles of oak. That they will increase Torah from the little bit that was given. There's no way to write everything down. We have to leave that open to be learned from. And this is the way Rabbi Kahn summarizes this. The story of
I think
Moses.
that's almost like a tzimtzum. You have to give
Is
room
an, that is
for the
exactly an aspect of Tzimtzum.
part of the Torah,
That the Tzimtzum and Hashem's dot in running the world is to give, it's basically Hashem says, no, I'm taking away, I'm limiting Emmet and giving it to human beings. Right? The story of Moses and Rabbi Akiva revolves around the immutability of the Torah's word of God, unchanging eternal truth. When he attaches crowns to the letters, he does more than beautify the text. He embeds into the unchanging text a system through which later authorities will make new applications of old principles as history unfolds, so do layers of meaning within the text. With each passing generation, more and more the beauty of the Torah will be revealed, bring to life the crowns on the land. I think that's what Shlomo says, is Tifsei Chachamim Yizaru Dat. The language of Chachamim will put crowns on this knowledge, every word, every letter of significance, the truth of the Torah, true in our own speech as well. Be careful what you say. But everything has meaning. It all goes together. It all has crowns. It's 8:28 here. Can we keep going?
How are you feeling? You're doing all the
Oh,
work.
yeah, okay. Well, we're almost there. The next couple of psukim, Zevach Rashim Tovat Hashem. This is about religious observance, that the Rashim offer sacrifices, but that's an abomination to God. Tefillat Yesharim, the prayers of the righteous, return is what God wants. Tovat Hashem derech rasha, it's abomination to God to the ways of the wicked. Mardef tzedakah, but someone who runs after justice, Yaheb is beloved. Musar ra lazav orach, it's a bad advice to leave the path. The sonet tochot yamut, someone who hates rebuke will die. Going back to the, you gotta accept rebuke. Sheol v'avadon neged Hashem, God sees literally the grave and perdition and being lost. God certainly sees the hearts of man. Okay, we have this idea. We'll see it later. That okay, you've got that. God, Hashem's not looking for a zevach for a sacrifice or all these other kind of words. He's looking at the hearts. Let's say it's a mishpat nivchar Hashem mizevach, that doing righteousness is more beloved than sacrifices, and that comes up all the time in Tanakh. Right? Shmuel says that to Shaul. Right. Right? Does God want sacrifices as much as he wants listening, obedience.
Start
Nishema.
all over Naveen.
Hold up, right? Nishema mi tov. That listening is better than an offering. Hakshiv, and that obeying is better than the fat of rams or the first break of Yeshaya, right? Shabbat Chazon, right? Lameli rov zivchechem. We'll read the whole thing. We know this in Yeshaya. That's Haftorah for the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. Lameli rov zivchechem. Sabbat Yalot. Right. How do
Isn't
I do sacrifices? I have enough offerings, right? Da, 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 I guess,
this Shmuel that you're reading from?
Well, the first one was Shmuel, the second one's
Oh,
Yeshaya.
now, oh, you're saying, oh, this is Yeshua. Go on, I'm going to have
Yeshaya,
a.
this is the second, right? Right. Right. Limdu hayteiv. Right. What you should do is learn to do right, dishu mishpat, seek out justice, ishu chamutz, right, make the sour happy, shiftu yatam, judge the orphan, ribu amana, argue for the widow. That's what God wants, right? Not the zevach, right? And the Malbim says this about the first sacrifice. Kayin brings an offering, right? And Hashem rejects it. Listen to Hevel. And Hashem tells Kayin, "Halo im teitiv se'ed." And remember, you know. Isn't it true that if you do good, se'et, you can handle it? But he's saying se'et means you can bring a gift. That's what se'et. Yilalo. This is the Malbim on this. Hashem revealed to Kayin, se'en chavetz Hashem b'mincha. Right? God doesn't want the offering. It's not the offering. It should mean something inside. Rak hinei shemo mizevach tov. Again, quoting from Shmuel. Listening to God is better than offerings. The important thing is to do good, do the right thing. Don't bring out fancy gifts and menachot and sacrifices and offerings. And the more you make your offering fancy, the God's not going to want that. Ki benim tetiv seit. Right, whether you make the se'ed good, or you know, you make the gift good, you make a give a fancy gift, but in motetiv, or if you don't, doesn't matter what you're offering. Ein b'zeh shumala, there's no point. Achar shel petach hatetravetz, as long as the sin's waiting there by the entrance, as Hashem says. Ma'atir drum b'seik im b'beit shetiftach. That as soon as you're offering it, your sin is there, going to testify against you. Undo the sin, do tshuva, and then you can bring an offering to God, and you can say, "Here, God," as the Gemara says, "Ritzah praklit nichnas adaron." You've got to appease the prosecutor before you bring a gift into the king. Of course, if the prosecutor is there before you bring the gift, it's just going to look like a bribe. You can't bribe God. Do better first, right? Improving yourself doesn't need tzivachim, it needs sincerity, right? And that's why it ends with that af kili bot that sho'el v'avdoi neged Hashem. God sees the end result of death and avadon. I like the word perdition, being lost. Being damned. Here we go. Translate that as utter ruin, damnation. Okay? Shelvab done. And because Avki, God, that's what you're thinking there. Right? When you're taking the hochacha, don't say, "Oh, I'm sorry, here's a big sacrifice," or whatever it is you're doing, you gotta mean it. So then we end this section with the thought we started. Lo you have less hochiach lo. The cynic is not going to love to be rebuked, to be criticized. El chachamim lo yelech. He's not going to go to the chachamim. Right? You got to know who you're criticizing. Lev sameach yitav panim. A joyful heart makes faces happy. Makes faces good. You make other people happy. But sevet lev ruach nacha. But with sadness, you bring the spirit down. if you want to admonish others, you need to create a situation of ahava. Okay? Right? You want to have the you if the problem is lo yahava, it's as long as they're cynic, they're not going to be loving that. And we have an example of this in Parsha Vayetze, not this week's Parsha, but next week's Parsha. And I want to end with some of this. This is when Yaakov was going to running away from his brother. And he goes to Haran. And he gets to Haran. He sees the well with the rock on it. You know the story, right? He comes and there's a well as he gets to Aram Naraim, Bnei Sham Shosha Adreitzon, and there are three flocks of sheep there, from Simalea that are crouching by it. Kimina Be'er HaHu Yeshku Adarim, because that's where all the flocks would water their sheep from this one well. And there was a big rock on top of the well. So what they would do is all the flocks would gather together. Go to Evan, the shepherds would roll the stone, me'al pi ha'be'er, off of the spring, off the well. They would water their sheep. They shoot it to Evan, al pi ha'be'er, and they would roll the stone back, umakoma afterwards, back to its place. So that's what Yaakov sees. Vayomer lehan Yaakov, and Yaakov tells them, Achai me'abate, my brothers, where are you from? Yamru said, we're from Haran. And he asks them about Rivka and Lavan. And then he says, Vayomer, he tells them, Hen od hayom gadol. The day is still early. Lo eda sofa mikneh. It's not time to gather your sheep back. Where are you all hanging out? Heshkuatzon, go give them water, veluchuru, and go graze, let them graze. And they told him, Lo nuchal adasher yasfu kol darim. We can't do that until all the flocks get together, go look to Evan, then we can roll this rock off. It's just a big rock. Three of us can't do it ourselves. Me'al pi ha'be'er, v'shkinatzon. That's what we're waiting for. So this is about my friend talking about this story. It's very strange because Yaakov here is a newcomer to town. He walks in there, immediately starts lecturing the shepherds on proper worth ethics. Right? What are you doing sitting here? You should get back to work. The interesting thing is that they accepted it from him. They start explaining the special circumstances. They got to roll the rock off, etc. How did Yaakov accomplish that? Right, they accepted his hochacha. There's one word in the pasuk that explains how Yaakov was able to accomplish that. It says, Yaakov said to them, Achai me'abatim, my brothers. That's the word. Those few words of patriarch Yaakov was able to convey his love for every human being. One can convey that emotion to people, it would be possible to give them mussar that they will accept. You can start with Achai. Communicate that you feel okay, it's your Achai. That was the point that you've been making the whole time. That's what someone was saying. People will not accept Musa when they feel, what business of yours, what I'm doing or not doing. But if one can convey a sincere, honest feeling of brotherhood and friendship, then one can get away with saying anything. People accept it. They recognize that for Yaakov, Achai was not a figure of speech, he meant it. That was his ability to demonstrate to people that he was sincerely concerned about their welfare. Once the shepherds felt that, they accepted whatever he had to say. It's a nice story there. And so we'll conclude with this last line of Lev Sameach Itapanim. You got to greet everybody with a smile. And it's a word about smart about smiling. And this is from Parsha Vayechi, Yehuda's bracha. And Yaakov's giving brachas to everybody. He said, Yehuda, I'll tell you, do hachacha, your brothers will acknowledge you. And it ends with Chachlili Einayim Miyayin, which Rashi, which Artsko translate as Chachlili, red-eyed from wine, Levenchi Naim Michalav, and white-toothed from milk. And as Rabbi Hertz puts in his Chumash, this rendering is absurd. Red-eyed from wine. According to Judah's eyes are red from excessive drinking, and Jacob's blessing is that Judah should be a drunkard. That claim doesn't make any sense. What's Chachili Einayim Miyayin? The Septuagint says it, and you remember your classical Greek, right?
No, but I'm
Parapoi
waiting for you to.
oi ophthalmoi ato apo. Apo oino, chai lukoi oi odontes aton yagala. Right? Okay, Kharoshoi is cheering, cheerful. Ophthalmologist is eyes. Aton is more than. And oino is wine, right? His eyes are more cheering than wine, more cheering, right? You'll cheer people up more than wine just by looking, right? And Luca means white, his teeth are whiter than milk. That doesn't mean yayin michal doesn't mean from wine and milk, but more than. So eyes redder than wine doesn't be a problem. So it means shining, sparkling, cheering to others. And that's what Chazal story the entire pasuk. Okay, it's his bracha was that he'd be more cheerful and he's smiling at everybody. That's what teeth whiter than milk means. Amar Yochanan and Tova Malbin Shinayim L'Chaveru, right? Right, better to smile at someone else, literally whiten your teeth. That show the whites of your teeth is more than giving them milk. As I said, leven shinayim mechalav. Right, I'll take your leven and stuff that they're white. El libun, you're actually making them white. You're showing the smile, and that's what Pirkei Avot says. Shamayim mer havei mekabel kol adam b'sever panim yafot. Greet everyone with a cheerful countenance. The Avot Rabbi Natan, which is kind of the Gemara commentary on Pirkei Avot, says, what does it mean? Sever panim yafot, with a cheerful countenance, ketzad, how? Mamad shim natan adam l'chavero kol matanot tovot sheba'olam. It means that if you give someone else all the gifts in the world, the panav, kushim, ba'aretz, but you're miserable, you do it with a sour face. Malek hatuv k'ilu lo natan lo klum. Torah considers that you haven't given him anything. But if you smile at someone, even though you didn't give them anything, it's like you gave them every gift in the world. Okay, that was Yaakov's bracha to Yehuda. To smile at everyone, make everyone smile. That's a bracha here, and that's where we're ending it. So just smile, keep calm, and carry on. Know how to make other people happy, and the world will be a better place. And we will
Thank
stop
you,
here.
Disney.
And actually, that's it
Dan,
here.
I really, really appreciate your class.
Yeah, stop.